story. I've told this story in this church before, but I felt like I should tell it again. I wonder, have you ever done something in your past? How many of you believe sometimes we learn the easy way and sometimes we learn the hard way? How many has learned the hard way? Well, we're all together this morning, aren't we? How many of you ever thought, and I've got a little reverb up here, how many of you ever thought that you had learned a lesson because of a situation or a circumstance, and then a few years, a few weeks, or a few years pass by, and you repeat the same mistake again? Wow, why do we do that? You know, it's human nature. It was some years ago, and Darla will definitely remember this, and some of you will remember me telling the story, because I've done what I just asked you time and time again. One of the things I've always done, I was raised this way on the farm, is I just leave my keys in the car. I mean, where I was raised, you could leave your keys in the car and never lock the house. So we just always left the keys in our car. Well, it's been a habit of mine all my life, even in this city. And so it's just something. But Darla has told me many times kindly, as my helpmate, that, you know, Dale, one of these days it's going to come, somebody's either going to steal your keys or steal our car. And she had told me that. She had said that to me. She had tried to teach me that before I learned the hard way. So, and it was a few years ago, and we had a men's conference, and it was actually down in Desert Springs Church, another Assembly of God church south of here. And it had been a great day. It had been a wonderful day. And, you know, I'm headed out going to the car, and I recognize there's no keys in my pocket, but that's not unusual for me. And so I get out to the, and I'm the last to leave. I was running the conference. And so me and a handful of guys are the last to leave. And I thought, well, you know, I just left my keys in the car. But I get out to the parking lot, and I couldn't find my car. Now, I will say at my age, that's not unusual either. I had the guy that's taken in the carts yesterday help me find my car. He said, well, I said, you don't have to help me. I mean, you know, us men, we know where we're going, right? We lose. But he said, no, I'll help you, sir. I said, well, I think it's over there somewhere. But my beeper wasn't working, so I had to have the grocery cart guy help me find my car. But thank God I found. That's a side story. I'm chasing bunnies this morning. So, but anyway, the problem was there were only about four cars left in the parking lot, and mine wasn't one of them. Somebody say, uh-oh. So the first thing I did, I called the police. I let them know that my car's been stolen. They said, are you sure? Yes, I'm sure. I gave them my home address, and I gave them the address, you know, of the conference. I said, yeah, it's definitely not here. There's three more guys with me. My car's not here. And so now, that was fairly difficult, but the most difficult thing is now I got to call Darla. What do you mean, oh yeah? Oh, you've been there and done that? If you're a guy and you've kind of been there and done that, raise your hand. Let me see. Come on, guys, fess up. Yeah, at least there's a few of us. So I'm calling Darla. It was a very difficult call, and I kind of stuttered. And I said, honey, now when it's tense, I always lead with honey. I said, I left my keys in the car, and the car has been stolen. Silence. Deafening silence. And then with, she didn't yell at me, but she kind of raised her voice. She said, Dale, I dropped you off. I get embarrassed even talking about it. That's embarrassing. I said, well, come and get me. She said, I will, as soon as I convince a policeman I didn't steal your car. That's a true story. Not really. To illustrate, have you ever lost your car keys when you've been taught not to leave them in the car? And you forgot to do what you knew you needed to do, and you didn't do it, and it come back to haunt you? Let's read in Luke 24, 12 verses. I want to read quite a bit of scripture this morning. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, and of course this is, the story, the Easter story. The women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They're going to prepare the body because he's been laid in the tomb, Jesus. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? Let me read that. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, now watch this, they told all the things to the 11 and to all the others. That's the disciples, the 11 disciples out of the 12 that are still left. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with him who told the apostles. The ladies got the first revelation that day. Amen. Give me a ladies amen. Come on. That's all right. And so they go and tell these other guys. And watch this. But they did not believe the women. If you're in here and you're married, look to your man and say, believe me. Or look to him and say, I know what I'm talking about. But they were being typical men. The women had the revelation. Now, ladies, at the same time, you're not our Holy Spirit. Well, sometimes you are. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. And he went away wondering to himself what had happened. I want to talk about three things today as it pertains to remembering, or in some cases, forgetting. When you fail to remember the past, or what you've learned in the past, or what you've been taught in the past, you will have a tendency to lose focus and see reality. Now, even though this was a confusing situation that we read about, reality was Jesus was alive. He wasn't in the tomb. And they had forgotten. What did they forget? That he had told all of them this all along, what was going to happen. He had told them, in fact, when you read the Gospels, he had told them many times. And you see, the ladies just for a moment, not long, but then the disciples for a long time, they forgot. He had taught them about the resurrection. He had talked about the cross. He said he would be raised again, and they had forgotten. Listen, they were so wrapped up in death and grief, they forgot that he would live again. They were so wrapped up with their emotions and what they were going through. I mean, it was just an everyday deal. It was an unusual everyday deal because they think he's dead. They are going to wrap the body. They're doing what they should do after somebody has died. And they lost their focus because they failed to remember what Jesus had said. And this is the nugget I want you to take home. When you lose focus, you will miss reality. Now, I'm getting ready to show you a video, and this is going to be fun. It won't take long. There's players with a basketball. And I want to see how much you can focus. I want you to count the number of times the people in the white pass the ball. People in the white, I want to see if you can get the number correct. Go ahead, Stephen, run it and be ready to cut it off. Turn it up a little. Count them. Stay with it. Stop. Right there. How many counted 12? How many counted 10? You owe me a coffee on that one, Jesse. How many counted 14? 18? Who got a 15? Okay, but did y'all look around the room when we're raising our hands? We had 10s, 12s, 13s, 15s, 18s. Now we were all looking at, we were all focused on the same video. Is that correct? All right, run it, Stephen.
How many passes did you count?
Keep going, listen.
The correct answer is 15 passes. But did you see the gorilla?
Stop. Stop. How many here saw the gorilla? Now, how many didn't see the gorilla? Look around. Look around. How many saw the gorilla? Look around. How many didn't see the gorilla? Look around. All right. Play it. Wow! Bring your lights up. It was last fall at the minister's renewal, and I knew I was going to use this someday. I didn't get the count right, and I didn't see the gorilla. I blew it. We still need lights. How many times in this life do we miss the gorilla in the room? Those ladies for a little while and those men for a little while longer miss the gorilla. What was the gorilla? Jesus wasn't dead. He was alive. Jesus wasn't in the tomb. This tomb had been rolled away. Jesus wasn't dead any longer. He was alive and well, and they missed it. They lost focus of what they had learned before. They failed to remember what the Lord had said. They failed to remember what the Lord had taught them. Therefore, they failed to see that He was risen. That's number one. Number two, when we remember, we believe. We read it in the text. The angels show up, right? The angels show up and they said, hey, the guy you're looking for is not here. He's not dead. He's alive. And it says, and they believed. After the angels had spoken to him for a little while, they believed. They just believed he was. And they went off to tell the disciples. And they said, he said he had already told you you'd be betrayed by sinful men, you'd be crucified, and he also told you he would rise on the third day. He's alive. Isn't it interesting how angels show up and remind them what Jesus told them? The women, all of a sudden, they remembered and believed without physical proof. That's why we don't go back. We don't want to turn back. We don't want to go back to the old life. But it's important we remember what the Lord has said. Jesus was gone. The stone had been rolled away. But all of a sudden, the angel shows up to remind them. They remember. And without physical evidence, they go, yes, He's risen. He is alive. We know He's alive. They were so energized and so full of the Lord, they ran to tell others that without any physical evidence, He's alive. Listen, church and folks, we need to remember what the Lord has said to us. Especially when things don't go the way we thought they're going to go or our reality doesn't look the way it should look. We need to remember what Jesus has said to us. We need to remember what God's Word says especially. His Word is true. It's true from cover to cover. And you can open this book and you can say, well, I remember when I read that verse and I'm going to stand on that verse. I'm going to stand on you and your household shall be saved. I'm going to stand on by your stripes I'm healed. This is how we remember what God says to us. Especially when it gets foggy out here in our day-to-day life. And the voice of the Holy Spirit is still real. God still speaks to us in this still, quiet voice in our spirit. And He said things to you. Some of you haven't made Him Savior yet, but He's been drawing you for a long time. You sensed the voice of God in your life. You sensed Him tugging you. I can remember years ago, lost as I could be, out on a large sailboat, half the size, as wide as this sanctuary was, and we were doing things we shouldn't do, and we were living in a life of sin, and it was a big party, and everybody was down under the deck, and I went outside, and something, still quiet voice, lost as I could be, spoke to me and said, someday, Dale, you will serve me. Someday you will belong to me. I still love you. And I was lost. I stayed lost for many more years. But I tell you, when He showed up one day in that little Assembly of God church, I remembered when I was lost how He reached out to me. I remembered how my grandmothers had sowed the seed of the Word of God. I remembered the other times Christ was drawing me. I remembered the other times in church I would feel a stirring in here. I remembered and I believed. Without physical evidence. That's what happened that day. Now listen, here's the principle. The Lord will send reminders or remind you of what He said in the past. Now, as I get older, there is one quality I have that is getting better. It's called my forgetter. Just like the car. That was yesterday. Sad thing is, I do it all the time. My forgetter is getting better. I need reminders. I carry a little index card around with me all the time where when I have a thought that's important, I can write it down because I know there's a 50-50 chance I'm going to forget it. In God's grace and in the Lord's love and His faithfulness, He will send you reminders of what He said to you, especially in those times where you don't understand. Can I get an amen on that? Now listen, it may not be an angel, it could be, but the angels are far more symbolic than just angels. They might bring the person back into your life that reminds you. It might be a situation that reminds you of a past situation where God was speaking to you. But the Lord will always send reminders. You know why? Because He knows we lose focus. And He loves us anyway. And He knows we forget. And He loves us anyway. He knows really and truly in ourselves we are weak. But He gives us the grace to be strong anyway. Jesus knows all this about this flesh or these containers that we live in. Aren't you glad for the times He's reminded you through situations, circumstances? Maybe even this morning, you'll hear something or you'll shake somebody's hand or you'll hear the word. Sometimes a song reminds me. I hear a song and it reminds me right where I was when the Lord spoke to me about something. God is so faithful to remind. And then you know what they did? They went and took off to tell people he was risen. Then number three, remember what Christ has done in your past will give you strength for today. And one thing, you remember and you believe. But number two, it's important to reflect on our past because it gives us the strength to go through what we're going through. That sounds so very simple, but it's so very true. The Scripture says in this life you will have, Jesus said this, in this life you will have tribulation. And then Jesus said, take heart, I've overcome the world. So, you know, we're going to have mountains and valleys in this life, aren't we? We've been at this church 22 years, 2 weeks ago, and we've seen high times and low times and in-between times and up and down times. Right now is a good time at the Rock Church. Can you say amen? It really is. It really is. It's a wonderful time. But when you're going through a tough time, look, they had lost a loved one until they realized, until they believed. See, the last point talked about what he taught and what he said. What I'm talking about in this point is what he has done. What has he done for you? Woo. Almost daily, I think every day, but I want to be a man of integrity in case I miss a day. And I'm sure probably in my imperfection I miss a day. But there's not hardly a day that passes me by, and it's usually in my morning devotions, where I don't reflect on what God has done for me. I do it when times are going well. And I reflect even more when times are going tough and I can't see what's happening on this earth in my world. I said it earlier, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he was faithful yesterday, will he be faithful today? Is he faithful today, will he be faithful in your future? If he's been good to you 2 years ago, will he be good to you today? If he's been good to you 5 years ago, will he be good to you tomorrow? If you loved you like you were 10 years ago, will he love you like you are today? Has he provided for you? Has he provided for you? And I've lived long enough. Sometimes I've had lots of provision. Sometimes I've had a little thinner on the provision. But I've always had provision because he's faithful. In your darkest hour when you called out to him, has he always answered? Absolutely. See, when you may be going through something this morning, it's important to remember what God, not only what he's taught and what he said, but you've got to remember what he's done for you. I mean, all the parables he told, all the wisdom he gave, the time he calmed the storm. There were other times he cast out demons. Remember when he reached out to the destitute. Remember when he reached out to the beggar. Remember when he healed the leper. Remember, remember, remember. Don't ever forget what God has done for you. Don't ever forget what Jesus has done for you. Don't ever forget, even if you're a pauper this morning, you're rich in Christ. If you're going through something terrible this morning, remember his faithfulness to you, because he will be faithful forevermore. You've got to remember. God is so good. They would remember Passover. They would remember what we call Holy Communion or Communion or the Lord's Supper. They would remember. They would remember his last words, John 15, 16, 17, 18. They would remember how they beat him and how they whipped him with a whip. It was a Roman beating. It wasn't a 39 lash Jewish whipping. It was a Roman beating where a Roman soldier was skilled enough to cut every square inch of the body without killing the person. Jesus was built to a pulp. He was beat because we were sinners. He was beat to pay the price where we didn't have to be beat. He took a beating. They would remember He died for them. They would remember him dragging that cross to Calvary. It even had somebody had to help him. They would remember, as Isaiah said, that his body didn't even look like a man. They would remember the reason he did all that was for naught, but he did it for them, and he did it for you. They would remember as he hung on the cross. They would remember as they spit on him along the way. They would remember as they divided his clothes. They would remember when he said, "It is finished." They would remember what Jesus did for them. Always remember what Christ has done for you. Yes, He's provided. Yes, He's given you other things. Yes, He's healed your body. Yes, there's a lot of recovering. No, they're not recovering addicts. They're free and free indeed. They're no longer alcoholics and drug addicts. Because of the saving, healing, delivering power of Jesus Christ, remember who you were before you knew Christ as Savior. Remember where you were in your sin before Christ came along. Always remember, He is good. All the time, He is good. And we sing it this morning. Hallelujah. God is so good. Their grief was shattered when they walked headlong into the grace of God. Aren't you glad you walked headlong into His grace? He loves you and He wants you. He loves you and He wanted you before you ever wanted Him. God sent His Son Jesus to build a bridge from heaven to earth so that we could walk through that bridge, Jesus Christ, and spend eternity in heaven. We didn't deserve it. We will never deserve that kind of grace. Remember those unexpected moments you were struggling and you walked right into the grace of Jesus. Now, I thought about this and I've been torn, but I think I am going to share. Some here this morning may not have baseline. What do you mean, Pastor? Because if you don't know Christ as Savior, I've just preached the whole service about something you haven't experienced. You can experience Jesus Christ in a tangible way. And when you do, He will save you for eternity and He will change you from the inside out while you're on this earth. The Scripture says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody has sinned. So if you're here this morning, you say, "Gosh, I'm the only one." You're not the only one. We all sinned and fell short of the glory of God. That's what the Scripture says. And the Scripture says, and I'm going to just unpack this a little bit, that the wages of sin is death. The Scripture says it's eternal death and damnation in hell. It is. It's not fun to talk about, but that's true, isn't it? The wages of sin is death. But then the Scripture goes on to say, but the gift of God is salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. So there's a gift. And the Scripture goes on to say that as many that will receive Christ as Savior, to him will he give the power, that's the grace of God, to become children of God. So you can receive the grace from heaven to be saved and forgiven and become a child of God. I'm telling you how to get to baseline. The Word goes on to say that if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. It doesn't mean you're going to come to me and confess your sins to me. The Bible teaches you can go straight to the throne of God. Hebrews calls it the throne of grace. That you could come boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy and grace in your time of need. So if you confess your sins to God, He's faithful and just to forgive you. Can I get an amen on that? And I always do this, because I know today that the Lord is knocking on the door of your heart. I know for all that haven't made Him Savior today, the Lord has a plan for your life and He loves you very much. And the thing that you've been feeling inside of you is the Holy Spirit knocking on your heart on behalf of Jesus. And the Scripture says, Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens his heart and invites me in, I will fellowship with them and them with me." That's how you get saved. Jesus said in John 3, "Unless you're born again, you'll not enter the kingdom of heaven." Jesus comes in. Jesus transforms from the inside out. You're born again. You're made brand new. You're forgiven. You're washed. You're cleansed. You get eternal life. And you get a new life on this earth that's worth living with Jesus. And that's what I always go back to. I got a list long as this sanctuary. I could, walking with the Lord and deserve none of it. The faithfulness and the goodness and the provision and the grace of God in our lives that have walked with God for some time are endless. So when it gets tough, I've got endless experiences to lean on as I lean into Christ. But you know the one I always go back to? The day He mercifully saved my soul. Because when it gets dark on this earth, as long as it is well with your soul, it's okay. Because the Scripture says life is just a mist that appears for a little while and then it vanishes. We're not going to be here very long, but those that are blood bought and blood washed and have run into the grace of Jesus Christ and have been forgiven and justified by the grace of Jesus Christ will spend all eternity in heaven with Him. So out of all the hundreds of experiences I could go back to, I always go back to the day He saved me. And this is what I've struggled with, but I think I'm going to share it. I was raised in the church. Lost in the church. Darla was raised in the church, saved in the church. But as we grew up and grew older and we met in college and moved to Florida and started a life, her a school teacher and me a young businessman, moved further and further away from Christ. I've told it, and some of you have heard this story, but many of you haven't. I took my Bible to college, and I'd set it on a shelf. I took it every year, and I set it on a shelf where I could see it and all can see it. You know what it was looking back? Remembering who Jesus was. And in my drunken stupor, sometimes with men in my room, I'd say, if anybody will ever read that book and apply it to their life, and I'd point and live it, it'll work. And I was just as lost as they were. But let me tell you, as the years went by, I never forgot that Bible. God wouldn't let me forget, even though I was lost. My grandmother would send me letters, little short letters. She'd write scriptures in parentheses. She'd never write the scriptures out. You know why? I had to go look them up. I wonder what Mom and Annie's talking about. Living like hell. Living in hell. Living in sin. Bound in sin. Headed toward hell. But I'd get Mom and Annie's letters. And I saved every one. Even through those dark times, I saved everyone. And the Holy Spirit never let me forget those letters. I still got them in a box. We just moved. I found them again. We moved to Florida. Our marriage was on the rocks. It's a new stage. Let me get used to it. Son. I know. I'm still hanging my toes over. How many of y'all were thinking that? Raise your hand. I know you were. Look at there. Pastor's going to fall. Pastor's going to fall. I don't know what it is. It's something about, like, you know, you kind of exercise your toes while you're preaching or something. I don't know. Marriage on the rocks, lost, plenty of money. Success, yet I was going to lose my bride. Finally, I have to make it short. And those that have been with me 20 some odd years, you've heard it 50 times. But I know I'm supposed to share it. Walked into a little Assembly of God church about the size of this section. Sit two or three rows from the back. 50 people in the church. We shared it this morning in our connecting point. Darla shares it better than I do. Stood for prayer requests. Darla's got a back injury. Has for a long time. Been to chiropractors, doctors. She prayed for healing. Little Methodist girl. They didn't know. They prayed for God to heal people, but didn't know God could heal people. They took prayer requests. Everybody sits down. But Darla, she got a little tear rolling over her cheek. I'm proud. I went to church to soothe my conscience. Look, Susan, your conscience will still take you to hell. You need Christ this morning. I needed Jesus that day. I needed the grace of God. I needed a transformation because I was going down the wrong path. Always said I wouldn't, but I got deeper and deeper. I'm going, Lord, please let her sit down. I pray the wrong prayer, but that's what I pray. Lord, please let her sit down. Everybody's going to see us. I just want to get in and out. Pastor, I'll never forget. Never forget. Young lady in the back, is there something you'd like to share with us? The whole church goes, she began to share how God had healed her back. That she had asked for prayer and God had miraculously healed her back. Still healed today. And I'm going, whoa. Preacher preached the message. I know the title of it, Living a Lie. Woo! We were. He talked about an eraser board, and Darla's a teacher, and how God can wipe the slate clean. By the way, doesn't matter what you've done this morning, Jesus Christ can wipe the slate clean for you. So now he talked about it. Darla, now here's the funny thing, and y'all have heard it. We were at the back. That building was built right. To come into our sanctuary, you got to come through the front door. It's just the way it is because of the old bowling. You could go out the back door. Guess who was going to run out the back door? I was going to run out. My heart was about to come out of my chest. So we turned, and Darla, to get in and out. I turned to go out the back, and Darla turned to go out the front, up the front, and I went, what? She goes to the altar. I go sit down. She gets up there. She gets prayed for. That's a long story. She has a vision. Now the little Methodist girl got hit, got healed. Now she's having a vision of how the wall's coming down between her and I. Because we were talking about divorce. Seriously. During that time, the young man was walking back and forth, look at me every now and then. Now, I was peeking. I was looking over the seat. You know, I'm scoping out what's happening up there. But when I said, and I began to pray, Lord, don't let him come back here. This really is true. My opening story wasn't, but this is. And then all of a sudden, he starts walking down the aisle, and I go, poop, poop. He walked behind me. Laid his hand on me. All he did was pray, Eric. And I broke like a ton of bricks. And Darla's getting saved in the front. And I'm getting saved in the back. And we're being transformed from the inside out. Healed, saved, delivered. Walked out of that little building. Walked out of that little building stunned by the power. We had run headlong into the grace of Jesus Christ. And we had run into His grace so strong. It shook us to our core. We went to the car, shaken. She said, while I was up there, the Lord said I had to confess some things. I said, get in the car. She confessed her sin. I said, well, there's some things I got to tell you. I confess my sin. We did not know the Bible said you had to confess and repent. We did. We did. The Spirit led us. And we never looked back.
For many of you, like when I was lost, the Lord has reached out to you before. And He's recalling things to your memory today, where that you will have a baseline called salvation, and you'll never get away from it.